Please stay standing for the reading of Scripture. There are several Scripture portions this morning that Pastor will be considering. We will begin with Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We read these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And down to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. To all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky, to all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so it was. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Then finally down to verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. May it be a blessing to us this morning. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.
Well, isn't it good to have Dave back with us after a few weeks. We are so glad that he's recovering. I know still in continual recovery from his surgery, but recovering well and looking better than ever, I would say, there. So good to have him back. In case you missed it last week, we did just kind of announce that Dave's kind of small role that he'll be taking on as administrative pastor here. And just a few little things here and there that he'll be doing. And it's just sort of a sign of what we're all about, which is we want to free and empower people to do the things that they're called to do. And that's not just pastors, but by recognizing that, we feel like we're freeing Dave to function in his gifts. But it's why we did the interview with Dixie, just to highlight where God is at work in people's lives, to see people being freed to be the people God is calling them to be in the areas that he's calling them to be. So last week, if you missed it, it was a pretty important week. And a lot of the things that we're doing are sort of applications of sort of some of the things we talked about last week. And you can, I believe, listen to it online. I didn't check yet if it's up there. But you might want to listen to that. Today is kind of part two of God at Work. And we started talking about that last week, and so we read the same text last week, and we looked kind of in depth to some of these things in the text, some of the things that it says. We also looked at some common errors or misinterpretations of what it's not saying as well in relation to work and vocation and what God has called us to do, basically what it means to be a human being created in the image of God. And that's what we began talking about last week. And so we talked about understanding work. We defined work in a Christian perspective. And so you can review that by listening online. And so we've started kind of, you just see some small applications of that. So about once a month, we'll do what we did with Dixie this morning. Usually on the first Sunday of the month, it'll be a little different. It'll be a little less preaching and a little more interactive with communion and with an interview like that, so that you can see that God is not just at work in here on Sunday morning, but that God is work out there in your lives and doing the things that he's called you to do. In fact, it's probably more important what's going on out there, even though it flows out of what happens in here, right? This is the pattern of the church gathered becomes the church scattered. So what we do in here ends up fueling our work out there as we long to bring God glory and we long to bring life and see flourishing and these sorts of things in our community. So there are a few other applications that are just going on. Just this Friday morning, just so you know, this was basically just a way for me personally to carve out time, and if nobody joins me, that's okay. I'll be outside just kind of trying to do some work out here from 9 to 11, probably just kind of picking some weeds and grass out and, you know, at least getting it started, right? Might be a Band-Aid approach at this point, but kind of getting it looking nicer, because that's a big part of our calling, is God has entrusted us with a piece of land. And the Genesis mandate is that we are to cultivate that land. We are to bring it to life. That is to be a place of beauty and flourishing that ultimately reflects the glory of God. So we'll start that process. You'll notice that we're starting to recycle now. That just happened this week. We got the bin out there. And we'll give more instructions and put some signage up so that you can have that. Simply because as Christians, that's a part of our responsibility as stewards of God's creation again. And it may seem like a small thing, but it matters. And people pick up on these things when they walk into your place. So some small parts of application that we're beginning to do there. So last week we talked about sort of this generic understanding of work, being created in the image of God. And I want to talk this week more about some specific things just as you go into your work, where God may be at work, or to kind of get your mind thinking of where he might be at work. Just by way of review, I should have either put this on the screen or drew something for you, but basically what we're saying is that think of sort of a wedding cake. And, you know, the bottom layer, right, is the biggest one, right? That's kind of what's holding it down together. So we would say, as far as kind of a wedding cake of vocation, that this bottom layer, the biggest one, that would be our human calling that we all share. And this is our calling to cultivate God's earth, to just be responsible with what he's given us, whether a piece of land or whether the gifts he's given us, just being stewards of God's good creation. And this is our human calling that God has given to all human beings, that he gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. And then after that, we would have the next kind of layer on top would be our Christian calling. But our Christian calling is built on the human calling. And the Christian calling, of course, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself, and then to make disciples and baptize them. So that's sort of our Christian calling built on that. And then only on top of that would you have your vocational calling, meaning the specific things God has called you to do in your life that is there. And what we're looking at through this Genesis text is saying that it starts with the human calling, that we're all called to this, and then our Christian calling, and then our vacation calling. But what I find is that's often flipped upside down, that we put all of our weight on what we do, on our vocational calling, but it needs to all kind of be built on this human calling. And I would say even for us as a church, that if we're not doing a good job simply being stewards of that which God has given us, and cultivating what he has given us, and bringing life to space, then we won't function well in our Christian calling to make disciples, and then we won't be freeing people to do what they're called to do in their vocation. So that's why Genesis 1 and 2 is such an important text. It's also why you'll find, you've probably noticed that Hannah and I don't refer to ourselves, or usually sign emails or letters or anything as Pastor Joseph or Pastor Hannah. Now, we don't mind if you call us that, if that's what you're more comfortable with, but we prefer just to go by Joseph and Hannah. And the reason for that is I don't want all of our identity to be tied up in what we do, because I'm a human being first, I'm a Christian next, and then I'm a pastor. But if everything is pastor, 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 the tendency would be to flip that. And now all my identity is wrapped up in being a pastor. So, you know, if I went to Jeff and said, you know, Bed and Breakfast Manager Jeff, Bed and Breakfast Manager Jeff, Bed and Breakfast Manager Jeff, over and over again, all of a sudden his identity would be so wrapped up in that title that it's like, what happens if that doesn't start going well? You know, now all your identity is tied up that. But when you realize that you're a human being first, you're a Christian next, and then God has called you to specific things over that. So that's just kind of a point of application in our way of thinking about these things, that it's not our primary identity. And I think that a way of trying to keep ourselves healthy. So with all that said about the human calling, Christian calling, vocational calling, as that was kind of by way of review, I do want to speak briefly to mainly though for those people who right now are in sort of a specific vocation of paid work. Because last week we kind of covered the more generic understanding work, defining work, and we defined it very broadly as any activity that we do. But much of this, I think, will apply to people in unpaid work as well. So why do we work? That's kind of where we left off a little bit last week. And this is on your outline on the back of your bulletin there. So in addition to, because it's how God designed us to work, to bring life, to bring flourishing, we also work to live and we work to bring life. Or we could say working to live and working to give. And these are very basic things, but they're important reminders, I think, every morning when we wake up. That number one, we work to live. So if Adam did not work, what was going to happen? He was going to die, right? I mean, he had to cultivate the land. He had to make something happen. So we work to live. And we work to live in opposition to laziness or worthless pursuits or those sorts of things. We work to provide for ourselves, for our families, and just to create a stable society that God has kind of set it up in this way that we have to work, right, to keep things going. However, I would definitely have to say there is a big difference between realizing we work to live, to have and provide for the basic needs of our life versus thinking that we work to live more luxuriously or that we work to live more comfortably. See, money or a better life should never be the motivation to work. Proverbs tells us, do not overwork to be rich. So that's not the motivation, but simply to have the basic necessities in life. And then I would say cap that, your kind of basic necessities, and then try to live a generous life and in as much as you can, giving the rest away to those in need. So kind of too little work and we don't feel alive because God has called us to be at work, to be creating, to be doing all the things we talked about last week. Too much work and I think the life is sucked right out of us because we forget that we're human beings and that we're Christians and that God has also called us to rest and to play and to laugh and to have fun and to enjoy his creation. So it's finding that middle ground, which I think scripture has in there. One way we maintain the right balance, I think, is number two. So working to live. And then number two, working to give. Working to give. Ephesians 4:28 sort of has both of these points in it, in that verse. Those who have been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. So that's kind of working to live. Hey, don't steal. Work so that you can live. And Paul says, doing something useful with their own hands, so creating, Paul realizes this is just a part of being a human being, is you do something with your hands or with your mind or whatever your trade is, that they may have something to share with those in need. So you see how Paul ties those all together? He says, you know, work so you don't have to steal, so work to live. And then he says, create with your hands or do what God's called you to do, put your energy towards something so that you might have something to give to those in need, not just so you can take care of your own needs, but you work to give as well. So kind of ask yourself this question when it comes to work. Am I working so that I might be better off? Or am I working so that others might be better off? And this really changes your perspective, even if your work is non-paid type of work, volunteer work or caretaking or all the things we talked about last week. So if you're kind of stuck in this cycle of work and spend and work and spend, just trying to keep up with consumerist desires, then I would say I'm not sure that's really what God had in mind when he designed us to work. And we, of course, would remind ourselves that as followers of the poor man Christ, the humble servant of God. We're not to be motivated by power, by money, by recognition. In my very first sermon here, preaching the call, right, we talked about having a holy indifference to these things, as Jesus did as well in his three temptations. As Christians, if we take seriously the calling that we work in part to give and to help others, then a powerful message, I think, is delivered to a society that is sickened by greed. But we need to prophetically speak into that culture by saying we work to give, not work just to increase our standard of living. Perhaps more on this in future weeks about giving and working in this way. So gleaning from our Genesis text, that's sort of a grand vision of our calling as human beings in relation to work, how we understand work, how we define it. But let's just go a little bit more narrow here, just very briefly, and then we're going to come to the table. Talking about worshiping at work. So I've given you kind of the grand vision, but now let's talk about the little details. As you go into your work each day, whatever that might be, all the things that you talked about last week, what does this look like? So this is not an exhaustive list, but just a few ideas that I kind of jotted down, and all seven of these are in your outline, and we'll go through them fairly fast. But this is sort of a prayer guide in a way, that you could take these seven things in the morning and just pray over these things. God, help me to be these things. So we're going to talk about kind of how to be a marketplace minister, so to speak, how to be a minister in the marketplace. So number one, application of what we've talked about, be a cultivator, not a consumer. Be a cultivator, not a consumer. So when you go to work, don't go with the mindset, I'm going to go do the minimum amount possible and perform just to the expectations that are there, collect my paycheck, and then I'll be happy as long as I feel like my employer is meeting my needs. But rather, you go as a person created in the image of God, as someone called to bring beauty, to create, to serve and love others, to bring order where there is chaos, as we talked about, to care for people and to benefit society. You go with a different calling than the rest of the world as you go to work. See, God, he meant for Adam to be a gardener and a ruler, right, to oversee some things. But it's interesting, what does Satan tempt him to do? Satan tempts him to be a consumer first. So Satan tempts him to flip it, but we're to be cultivators, gardeners and rulers, overseeing, rather than just consumers taking what is not ours. So be a cultivator, not a consumer. Number two, be creative. We talked about the very first thing we learn about God in Genesis is that God creates. He is a creative God. And in the first 6 days, he is working and creating. So allow yourself to come alive with ideas, to bring life with your creativity in whatever areas you're gifted in. Shape and name and find ways to create and offer it back to God for his glory. When the Lord invited Adam to name the animals, he invited all of us to participate in his creative work. That was a way for God saying, this is everybody's calling to participate in creative work. God could have named them all himself, but he said, no, you do this. You're going to partner with me in my creative work. And so we all share in that calling. So be creative. Number three, try to see your work as a calling more than a career as much as possible. I realize this could shift in different times in life, but hopefully as your imagination is sort of unlocked from this passage in Genesis about what it means to be a human being, as you seek help from the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to see more and more how what you do every day might actually be the work of the Lord, the calling of God on your life. See, it is unbiblical, make sure you get this, it is unbiblical to limit calling to Christian ministry, so-called Christian ministry. That we are all called into different fields, thank the Lord, into different areas of society out there. In fact, it's not actually pastors and ministers that are called to the work of the ministry, because Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those who are just working in that sort of capacity. But then verse 12 says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? So actually, I'm not called into the ministry, I'm called to equip you to do the work of the ministry, right? And that's just the way God has set up the body, but you're called to the ministry that God has called you to do. And hopefully what Hannah and I hopefully do somewhat well sometimes, is equip you to do that as you go out into the world. You are called into a great ministry. Number four, work competently. Work competently. Realize the responsibility you've been given is a gift from God, that He has placed it there before you. And therefore, treat it accordingly, realizing that God calls us to do good work and offer it back to Him. And, you know, our Christian witness is compromised when we don't, right? How does that reflect on the gospel if we're being lazy in our work or not working competently or not working well? Because people see us as God's representative. So work competently. Number five, minister with your presence. There's all kinds of ways you could do this. I think one of the best ways is just be a good listener to people. I mean, the world aches for good listeners, for people that can listen, for people that will sit and listen. But minister with your presence, just being a presence in people's lives. And then along with that, number six would be a Christ-like example. And what I mean here is not leaving tracts on people's desks or, you know, kind of hitting people over the head with the Bible or doing those sorts of things or squeezing God into every possible conversation. But it means you value the people you work with as human beings, as people first, realizing that they are created in the image of God, regardless of their skills, their competencies, their positions, their salary. We don't spend time only with like-minded people as Christians, but we intermingle with all others as well, particularly those who are maybe shunned or marginalized. We pay attention to the least of these. We don't favor the rich over the poor, whether as customers or fellow employees or workers. If you happen to be a Christian employer, if you're somebody who employs other people, treat your employees as people created in the image of God and with respect and honor and love. And then lastly, hopefully if you do the first six, you put yourself in a position to challenge ungodly patterns. Challenge ungodly patterns. If you do those first six, I think then you'll have a voice and you'll have the credibility to do this last one, to be open to the very real possibility that the Holy Spirit might want to use you to prophetically speak out into the marketplace against systems of corruption, things that would be against the gospel, against the way the Lord would have us to run things. See, when we separate our lives too much, and this is what we're trying to bridge this gap over these last couple weeks, if we separate our lives too much between sort of the spiritual realm and everything else we do, then the temptation would be that somehow they're not connected, but they're very much connected in every way, so that what goes on in here matters for what goes on out there. And as those of you who are still in the workplace or if you're breathing and you go outside of your house, you know that many spirits can just pervade a workplace or an environment. It can be oppression, distrust, gossip, shame, greed, rebellion, discouragement. But we can help usher in the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, His rule and reign, His kingdom of peace, justice, mercy, and kindness, these sorts of things. We can be a part of what God is doing, bringing thriving to our workplaces. So what we're trying to do over these last couple of weeks is basically people say a lot to pastors, and of course it's appreciated. They say, you know, Pastor, thank you for your ministry. But what we're saying and what we're doing by these interviews and different things is saying we need to be thanking each other for our ministries, not just pastors or ministers, any more than anybody else. And so what we're saying to you is, thank you for your ministry, for what you're doing out in the world. And maybe God's just beginning to open up your mind to how it is a ministry, what you're doing, and that's fine. But we need to support and encourage each other in different ways. And I think as we do that more going forward, then we'll be a part of answering the prayer that His kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Because that prayer is not just about what happens in here. It's about what goes on out there. And so that's what this is all about, bringing this life, bringing this flourishing.